Okay, here we are. This is our network with the congestion on the arcs. The only data I did not tell you are how these type of congestion functions are done. Okay.
Here I don't have the description. Okay.
Time block, or as you say, flow block. The function is done this way. So the function of the flow is a given fixed value, okay, plus and the expression is a constant alpha over t minus v, v is the flow. So we request that the flow is less or equal than v.
Let me check it, because I'm not confident it's the right one. No, I have it in my notes. Yeah.
There should be here. Okay. So if there is no flow, if there is no flow, the time to cross the link is t. Okay? T, alpha, and t are parameters. Okay? As v goes to c, which is the capacity of the arc, this goes to zero, so this goes to plus t. Okay? And the graph of the function is something like this. Okay. At a certain point, it starts to blow up. Okay. This is with, I think, let's see, t equal 1. T equal 1, I think C equal 1 as well. Okay. So, in the example I have T equal 1, C equal 1. For different values of parameter up. As alpha increases, the function blows up a bit earlier. Okay? The other type of function is done in a different way. It is still t, but now you add
okay, where is it? Okay, then the graph.
Then you have v over c to the fourth power. Okay? And you don't have any constraint on the flow that goes through there. Okay? So that here you don't have a capacity. Okay? Potentially the capacity is plus infinity. What is telling you this? Okay, if you have no flow, if you have no flow, the time needed will be, the theoretical time will be t. Okay? If v is smaller than c, this quantity is smaller than 1. Okay? So, as v goes to c, This quantity goes to 1, and so the time will be t plus 1.
Okay.
Okay. You can put an alpha here as well, and so this will be t plus alpha. Okay. When v becomes bigger than t, this is greater than 1, you take the fourth power, and so it goes up. Okay. And this is the situation here. Okay, for 3 increasing values of alpha. And once again, I think that t and t are both 1. Okay? So we have 2 different models. Okay? Don't ask me why they choose here the 4th power and not like the 6th or any other even power. Why did I say even and not any? Because if it is even, this function is convex. Okay? While if you take the cube, it won't be convex. Okay? It will be maybe convex in the region of interest, but okay. So, I don't know why. They made they had a lot of data, they had simulation, they tried to estimate anything, and they believe that this behavior is better than this flow or time law. Okay? But, okay, it doesn't mind. We can run our algorithm in both cases. Okay? And so, we have linear constraints and a non-linear objective function. So we can do Frank Wolf, we can do projected gradient. Okay? So, I chose some values here for each arc. The very same for the green arcs, the very same for the blue arcs, and the very same for the red arcs. And data are here. Let me see if I have some information. Okay, on the first arcs, t is equal to 1, and let's call the reference capacity is 20. On the blue arcs, t, so the theoretical time is 4, and the capacity reference is 10. Okay? And on the red arc, the theoretical time is 10, and the reference capacity is 10 or 5. Is 10. Okay? And I chose as quantity, as the flow that has to come in and get out, 20. Okay, so we want to see how 20 units of flow distribute across this network. So, okay, I have I have to choose which of the two models. Let's say we start with a bureau or public road as a type of congestion. Okay, and it goes. Okay, it took nearly 22 iterations. You've seen it was very, very fast. One bit of information. You need an initial point, okay, which has to be a feasible point. Okay, so blue and red arc has capacity 10, so I imagine I send 10 units this way, and 10 units, for instance, this other way. Okay, easy way to find the feasible solution. If the problem is complex, you should know from operational research that you can solve it through a maximum flow problem. Okay. But here it is easy. A half this way and a half this way, or the other way. And this is the solution we get on arc 10.1, 11.9, and so on for all the other arcs. Okay? Let me call this X public bureau. No, sorry. So I try to memorize the function, and I also memorize the value. The optimal value is f at x. This is the optimal value. The total time is 559.3. Okay. Then let's run the other model with the time blow congestion functions. Okay? So here I choose the other options. Okay. It is even faster. And the solution you get is this one, which is rather different. Okay? If you remember, on the first arc we had the first arc is, where it is? It is this one. Okay. We have 7.7 units. In the other, you almost have 12. Okay. So the flow distributes on the network in different ways. And here, so let me call this time blow. I memorize the solution, and the optimal value is. Okay. You need more time. Well, it's clear there are two different problems. Okay. The starting problem is the same, but the models are different. Okay. You minimize different functions, so it's clear that you get a different solution and different values. Okay. You are solving two models for the very same problem. A silly remark, I don't have to choose the flow on this arc and this outgoing arc because it has to be all the flow. Okay? All the flow has to enter the network. Here, so here we have 20 and here we have another 20. Okay? But you must put them as, well, okay, when you write the flow conservation constraints for these two arcs, okay, you must remember that there are also these incoming and outgoing arcs with a fixed flow. Okay? So here you have, here you don't have zero there. Okay, we did Frank Waltz. We could also run projected gradients. Okay, so traffic with how it is called. Okay, and once again, let's write the Bureau of Public Road. Okay. It is fast, also in this case. The solution is this one. Okay. If you remember, on the first arc with the other function, we had 11.9. Here we have 11.8. Not that different. So let me keep the X. Let's memorize this, and indeed if you consider the difference between the two vectors, in absolute value, let's take them. Okay, let me write it this way. Okay. You see that the however, so this is the optimal solution in the first case with Frank Wolf, and this is the optimal solution with projected gradient. They are not the same, okay? Because this difference, if they were the same, should have been almost zero. But here you see meaningful differences, okay?
Also, if we consider the value,
now it is 505, 505, while in the other case was 559. Okay,
so there is a meaningful difference. If I take the difference between the two optimal values, and I take the relative difference, the relative difference is 10%, okay, in the optimal value.
It sounds strange, very strange, because we solved the very same problem, okay? We just used two different algorithms, Frank Wolf and projected gradient. But the problem is the same. Same objective function, same constraint, same data. Where does difference come from? Okay. Well, this difference comes from the fact that we are using some stopping criteria. Okay. And the stopping criteria for the two methods which I used are pretty different. Gradient method? No, sorry. Projection method, we know that a point is stationary if we have this equality. Okay. So I ask for the norm of the difference to be small, below some threshold. Okay. In the other case, I was solving this optimization problem. Okay. And I knew that a point is stationary if this minimum value is zero. Okay? This minimum value is always less or equal than zero, and at stationary point should be zero. So I stop the algorithm when this optimal value is greater or equal than some negative threshold. Let's say -10 to -6, for instance. Okay. And here I saw when this norm was below 10 to the -6. And so the reason of this difference is given by stopping criteria. Okay. Clearly, as you take smaller and smaller thresholds for the stopping criteria, this difference should go to zero, okay? But yet, taking smaller, very small value, the difference is pretty large, and the reason is that this way to stop this algorithm and that way to stop the other algorithm are conceptually different, okay? This is on the value of the approximation problem, and this is on the distance from the answer. And this is a distance between two points. Okay. So this is in value, let's say, a difference in value, and that is a difference in cost. Okay. I could deal with the same with time law. Okay. And okay, I don't do it just to give you to have time for the other application. You will see that in that case the difference is just 2%. Okay, so in that case the two different stopping criteria are the algorithms are less sensitive to these stopping criteria. Okay, for the other type of function. Okay, so do you have questions? Okay, clearly these are very small problems. Our network is made up by 11 nodes and
a number of and run 20-30 yards. Okay, but traffic engineers use the Frank Wolf method or the projected gradient method, in particular the Frank Wolf method, for very big problems. Okay, and they use that method because it's pretty simple. Okay, let me change the subject. Let me change the type of application. Let's turn to, let's say, finance. Okay. I need to give you some information before going to the sample itself. The type of problem I'm going to show you falls within the topic of portfolio optimization. Okay. It dates back to the early 50s and to this guy named Henry Markowitz. An economist from the University of Chicago. And in the early 50s, I think the paper is in 52, he thought that it would be useful to use mathematics in finance. Now it seems, what an obvious idea. Okay, but it was not so at that time. And in particular, to use optimization in finance, okay? He's actually the starter of the use of optimization and mathematical models in finance, and for this he was awarded the Nobel Prize in Economics decades afterwards. Okay, what is the basic problem? You have a number of stocks. A number of actions, okay, in which you can invest your money, okay, and well, what would you like to have? You would like to have the largest possible return revenue, but it is generally known that to get a better return, you have to risk more. So there is a trade-off between return and risk. Okay? If you risk more, you may get a better result. Okay? And so somehow, imagine you have n possible stocks to choose from. Okay? And the value of the stock, the return you will have from investing, from taking, let's say, 1 unit of stock after a fixed period of time, will be, you don't know it, okay? It will be a random variable. I will not get into details. What you can consider and can try to estimate is the expected value of this of the return. Okay? And let's suppose somehow you computed it. Okay? You cannot compute it. It's the wrong choice of term. You estimated it. Okay?
Well, and
yeah, I have it on my notes as well. Okay. At the same time,
you can risk measure some way.
The way you can miss, measure risk, for instance, is through
the variance of the random variable. Okay. The variance gives you a measure of how the random value is concentrated around the mean value. Okay. Variance zero means it is always equal to the mean value. Okay. It's a constant. Okay. The larger you get, somehow the more risky it is to invest. Okay. Because you are less confident that what you will get is the mean value. Okay, because so I don't want to go into the details of the probabilistic aspect. Okay? But you can measure risk through variance. Okay? What do I have to choose? Let's suppose I have some amount of money I want to spend. And I decided that these are the N stocks I'm considering. Okay? I want to know which is the percentage of my money that I will put in each of them. Okay? So I can add a variable XI, which tells between 0 and 1, which tells me how much. Which percentage of my money I will invest in that option? Okay. So what I'm expecting to get is this one. Okay. The return is expected for a unitary investment. Okay. And this is easy because this is my property, this is the sum of this. Okay. So, since we imagine to know that quantity, it is this function, which is linear as a function of the variables xi. Dubbio? Huh? Oh, sì, sorry. And now you want to know which is the risk corresponding to your choice. Okay, I want to know the variance of this random value. Okay? So, this is what I can expect. This is the expected value. Now I want to know the variance. Unfortunately, when you compute the variance, unlike the mean, it is not linear. Covariances between the random variables come up, and so this from probability, it is also here, read this way, okay? The sum over I, the sum over j of xij times the covariance between ri and rj, where the covariance of two random variables is the difference between the product of the expected values and
No.
Okay, I'm wrong. The product, the expected value of the product minus the product of the expected values. Okay. If Ri and Rj are the same variable, this is the balance. Okay. And once again, let's suppose that somehow we estimated this. Okay.
It stopped once again. Okay, I will keep talking while we reload it. Okay, now it started.
Okay, so this is sum over I, sum over j, Cij, Xi, Sj. This is a quadratic function, okay? So the risk corresponding to my choice for the portfolio is a quadratic function. Okay? You have second order terms. Well, what could I do? Okay, I could choose to maximize the revenue, the return, accepting some level of risk, or I could say I want to be guaranteed, I want to have a guaranteed expected return, minimizing the risk. Okay? So let's take this second possibility, which was the one that Markowitz formulated for S first. So let's suppose I want some level R to be guaranteed. Okay? For my expected return. So okay, I think what I want actually is that this quantity has to be greater or equal than R. Okay? So I want the sum of Fi Xi to be greater or equal than R. And I want to minimize the risk. Minimize the risk is minimize this quantity. Okay, and then I have some further constraints, which are easy constraints in the sense that they are very good linear constraints. Since these are percentage, they have to be between 0 and 1, and their sum must be 1. So this is the model. Okay, I want a level R of expected return to be guaranteed. And I want the portfolio which minimizes the risk to get that return. Okay? I'm happy if I get R, and I want to get R minimizing the risk. Okay, while I'm reloading again the computer, I can tell you which is the weak point of this. This looks nice because we have linear constraints. All constraints are linear because Li and Cij are linear. And so all the constraints are linear, so my physical region is a polyhedron. And it is also compact, bounded in the space because the values, we are in the box of 0, 1, we are inside this box. 0, 1 times 0, 1 times 0, 1 and 9. Okay? So, Very good. The function, the objective function is quadratic. So it looks good.
What is the weak point? The weak point are the data. Okay?
This Li and this Cij
are not real return and real a real covariance. They are my estimates. Okay? And my estimates are done considering the past. Okay? I can take the series of values in the past time, and I can, let's say, forecast the future. Okay? So, yeah, I cannot guarantee you that you will actually get that. Okay? Risky.
Because those are estimates. The market may have a breakdown, an unexpected breakdown, for instance. Okay?
And I wouldn't be able to predict it from the past. Actually, this is the weak point of all the use of mathematics in finance. Okay? You don't have any certainty. You work with probabilities.
You can do a lot of inference in mathematics, but it's a probabilistic approach. Any way you put it, okay? Otherwise, the game would be easy. Okay? Otherwise, finance and market would be easy because I could just trace them through optimization problems.
And it is not so. It is here. Okay, I have an example. Here it is.
These are true data of some particular stocks. I mean, estimates of true data taken from historical series for particular stocks on exchange trade funds and fundamental which are related to emerging countries. Okay, here you have the name of the countries: Turkey, South Africa, China, Russia, Indonesia, and so on. Okay, here each fund, each country is given by a point in the two-dimensional space. This is This is the variance. This is the variance for that particular fund, and this is on the y-axis. This is the expected revenue. Okay, so this is the return, and this is the risk. Okay, you can see that roughly as risk increases. Okay. The return increases. Okay, Brazil doesn't fit at all in the in this scheme. The data are from some years ago, so here you have a case in which you have large risk and not a good revenue. Okay, so they are, I don't know how many, 2, 4, 15. Okay, there are 15 points. I want to invest here, okay? Let's say I'm satisfied with which level? Let's say I'm satisfied with 20, okay? So, okay, I want my return, capital R, to be at least 20. Okay, I run, for instance, Frank Wolf method, okay? linear constraints, quadratic property function, so computing the gradient is also pretty easy. I run it, it takes some time. And this is its suggestion, okay? I will end up here, okay? Return is around 20, and this is the risk, okay? And how do I get it? I get it investing in this way, okay? You see a lot of zeros, okay? I'm almost investing everything in Taiwan, 80% in the Taiwan stock, and just 19% in Philippines, and a very, very small amount in Brazil and Turkey. All the others are zero. Okay? I could run it for another value, for instance. Let's say I want more. Let's say I want 40. Okay? Let's say I want 40. This will be the way I should behave. I end up where? I end up there. Okay? This is the risk I'm taking around. And I have to invest most of my money, once again, in Philippines, but this time also in Turkey. And all the others are zero. Okay? And you can run this for many values, okay? For as many values as you would like. It takes some time, so I don't know if we have this time, but I can run this. Now it is starting. It is going by itself. Okay. I take a minimum and maximum value for the revenue. Let's say 10 and 50. Okay? And then I try it for 10, for 15, for 20, for 25, and so on. Actually, I'm running it for 50. Okay? And now you are getting all the ways you should invest. Okay. Now it takes a few minutes, and in the end, it will draw you the curve of the pair's risk and revenue. Optimal risk corresponding to the given level of revenue. So this is it. You've seen some applications of these methods. Clearly, you can solve this problem also with the methods we are going to see in May. Okay? You will see some further methods, you could apply also them here. Okay, but I wanted to show you problems in these two areas. One is engineering, okay? And the other is finance, economics.
Okay, so next week you will be having once again Professor Bevilacqua, which will talk to you about a topic which is a bit unrelated to the rest of the course, but still very important and very, very useful, which is the fast Fourier transform. Okay? And then I will come back for the last weeks, and we will continue discussing constraint optimization. So this is the plan for May.